Can I have your attention? Thanks everybody for coming. We'll start the meeting. Roll call, please.
Chairman Stevens?
Here.
Treasurer Rosenblum? Here. Secretary Fishman Adams?
Here.
And as our tradition, we'd like to open it up to public input on anything concerning the agenda or not concerning the agenda.
Dennis, before you do that, can I just talk briefly? I wanted to make a quick motion. Since we have some vacancies on the seats on the board, Section 7 of our bylaws states that we're supposed to appoint other board members to fill those duties. So since Dick is no longer vice chair, we at least need to pick one of us to be vice chair in his absence temporarily until we have our annual meeting. So I'd like to make a motion to appoint Mike Rosenblum as vice chair as well as treasurer while while this is all happening.
Well, the chain of command that already is chairman, secretary, treasurer. And we can't have a meeting. The vice chair wouldn't be able to sit in because we don't have a quorum unless there's all three of us.
Well, as far as duty.
Anyway, if that's a motion, do you want to second it?
I'll second it.
As far as duties, you're supposed to fill his duties. You know, what his duties are. Like
there's no duties.
He has no duties.
There's no duties of the chairman. There's no duties of the treasurer. That's why we have those jobs. You're the secretary. There's only duties for the secretary.
There's duties. I've got the duties. You want me to read them to you?
Yeah.
So he's we won't have a quorum, but he can take over in your absence. Let me find somebody.
You're not going anywhere, right?
I don't know. But we're electing officers next. We're getting new people next month, I hope.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe not. So
let's just move on
then.
It's okay.
You don't want to make them.
So it's been moved and seconded to. Can you second yourself? Yeah, sure you can. To make Mike Rosenblum vice chair. Any more discussion? All those approve, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. 2-1 is it. Okay.
So now you're more in charge.
Okay, we'll go back to public input. Is there any public input? Great. Thanks. The minutes, please.
Okay, make a motion to approve the September 2015 minutes as presented. However, Mary Beth and I are still working on a few changes, but as presented for now, we'll accept the minutes. I might make a future motion to amend them. But you didn't give her the year. So you gave me a different pen.
Okay, I'll second that for discussion. But in the September...
There's still some stuff Mary Beth is working on.
Like what?
The stuff that we had tabled, as far as numbering, things like that, she's still working on. Steve can explain it more. Her numbering system.
Yeah, it looks like at some point during 2015 we got off on our numbering of motions.
So she's working on it, plugging away, and so the time being we'll just keep things moving forward, and if we have to amend the numbers and the motions, we'll go back and do that, if that's okay.
Sounds good to me.
Should we just table it until it's ready?
Or do if we want to publish it, publish it as a draft?
Okay,
want to revise it just to approve it as a draft for release and publishing?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay.
So then I'd like to make a motion to do the same thing with the October minute.
Second. All those approve, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That carries two. And now we come to the treasurer's report.
In the packet is the October financial statements. November's are not quite complete yet. We're working on that. We have in our operating account $86,000. There was an amount that was due from the state that we were expecting to come in, which did come in October. And also, we were able to pay off the loan of $80,000. So that was done in November. So I ask you to turn to page 8, which is the comparison of actual to budget. And it looks like that for the month, we're about $486 higher in revenue, total operating income. Our expenses are pretty much in line, mostly under budget. And on page 9, there's no real discrepancies. We did receive a check in October as a refund on our workers' comp insurance for the prior year. That's based on the estimated payroll, and then when they do the actual audit, because our payroll was down to what we had estimated, so that was a refund. So that's why it was only $1,400 as an expense for the month.
How much was the refund?
I don't know. I don't remember offhand.
I think it was around a couple of $1,000. So our total expenses were $34,000 and change, and our budget was $39,000. We did also get a check-in in October of almost $7,400 from FEMA, which was a reimbursement of expenses that occurred the previous winter. And we did sell one of our assets that we got $5,000 for. So that we have a net income for the month of $17,000 and a year-to-date of $35,112, which is about $22,000 better than budget. I'd like to make a motion to accept the financial report on October 31st, 2015, pending audit.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And opposed, nay.
I would also like to report that the audit from the independent auditors has been completed. I received the draft earlier this week. I'll be circulating that with the board members, and the auditor will be here next month to report on the draft.
Okay. Okay, there's no communications for, so far since for the month of November, I guess. And we'll move to the tower report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the month of October, we saw an increase in operations from the same period in 2014 of 927. Which is the second positive increase we've seen this year. And the month of November, we saw a decrease over the same period in 2014 of 216 operations. So the net of the 2 months is about 711 operations, which brings the year-to-date count down 8% from the year previous. But as I mentioned at the last couple meetings, in looking at all of the tower airports in New England, we're actually doing much better than 95% of them, 99% of them.
Really, they're all down 10%?
They're all down, some of them are down 50%.
Well, maybe for construction or something. Wow. Okay.
So that puts us 300 operations away from 50,000. So at least we'll clear 50,000, which is, I don't know, it's just a hurdle that I always look for. In 2012, we're 52.8. In 2013, we're 52.6. In 2014, we're 53 or 54 even. And in 2015, we'll be probably at 51. Oh, right. I don't know. December's not in there. So what is normally a December? 3,000?
Lenny, you have an idea?
Lenny would probably know. Where'd Lenny go?
He's sleeping in there.
In 2014,
it
might have been 3,800.
It was 3,800 last year.
Yeah. Last year was 57.8. Okay, so yeah, we'll probably get to 52. Okay, moving on. Airport manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Our wildlife activity on the airport has been light with no reported strikes. We conducted our annual preseason snow meeting and would like to remind the airport tenants that if they could shovel snow out into the taxi lane, either from your hangar or from your aircraft off the spinner, just shovel it out 3 feet into the taxi lane and we can clear it from there. We usually check every morning, every weekday morning, we check to see if anybody's pushed any snow out, so just get it out away from the building and we can take it from there. We're preparing to present our capital projects over the next 6 years to the City of Nashua Capital Improvements Committee, which Dennis will talk about later, I'm sure. And again, this year we're going to have our holiday charity drive to benefit Nashua Children's Home. I'll pass out, this is a list of needs that we got from the folks over at Nashua Children's Home. There you go, Mike. And if you could, take one or two of these and maybe just put it in your pocket when you're out Christmas shopping, and pull it out and think, yeah. Oh yeah, these are some things I can get for the kids in the Nashua Children's Home. We'll bring them to our office, we'll collect everything and present it to Nashua Children's Home on behalf of the entire airport community on up until December 17th, which is a Thursday, so we'll present it to Friday before Christmas and give them some time to wrap them or do whatever they need to do. And that's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Can you bring up the CIP church?
It's going to be, I can't do it on this computer. Please, yeah. Oh, just to talk to you.
Which folder are they in, Dennis?
There's, I don't know, there's no folder in there. There's
a lot of folders on this folder. I'm going to clear you.
No, you want to go there, yeah.
There you go.
Okay. There you go.
Which one do you want?
Pull up this one. Pull up the 2007 or 2015. Okay, so. One for you. One for me. One for you. Open all three up if you would. Okay, so what we're going to be doing.
What's the third one?
It's the Jurassic, yeah, that one. Okay, start with this one. Just stay there.
Sure.
Change.
Yeah.
This is the spreadsheet. I don't know, can you all see that out there?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, hit the lights.
Yeah, we're going to hit the lights. That's better.
Whoa.
That's good. I can see.
Oops, sorry.
This is actually our 10-year plan, our 20-year plan. I'm not too sure what the last years are because we're going to focus on the first six.
It's 20 years.
It is actually prepared by Carol at New Hampshire Department of Transportation. And after meeting with us and going over schedule and coordinating with Gail, and as you can see here, in the year 2015, top row there, that's the land acquisition that's pretty much complete, fully funded. And in 2016, this $900,000 up here is asphalt rehabilitation. It was $450,000. We went, I'll explain that in a minute. And the other item is the master plan. And then over here we have grooving and sealing a runway. And then we're getting some snow equipment. So I'm just going to go the first 4 years right now. Last year we asked for $450,000. It's not approved yet, but the city funded $22,500 to pay for our 5%. And the intent here is to get the city to help us with this budget right here and help us fund the capital improvements, because it's just improving city property ultimately. But the timing's all wrong, because this calendar, this right here, is a fiscal year, January to December, for the DOT, and the city works with July through June. So we have our money, our $22,500, to fund half of this $900,000, but gee, we'll be lucky if it starts in August. We didn't even need it. So let's go to the next chart and look at the CIC. This is called a CIP, Construction Improvement Program. This is the Capital Improvement Committee for the city, and this is what we're going in for this year. The other half of the asphalt rehabilitation program, and then the master plan, the $330,000. And then next year, it's a heads up that we're going to be asking to groove and seal the runway and this is a split right here of more asphalt. Another $1 million in asphalt rehabilitation in 2018 and 2019. And I'll show why we're doing that. And then here's the purchase, yes, sir, the snow removal equipment. So, I don't know, this will probably change, but what I'm trying to do down here is systematically ask the city for $50,000 or less every year for the foreseeable future. Down the road in 2022, 5 years, good 6 years from now, probably 5 years in a budget funding, we're going to be looking for a $6 million program. And I'm going to key on that for a minute, because this $6 million program is pretty much driving our entire budget for the next five years. What this $6 million program is we're calling it relocation of the taxiway, but it's not relocation. Our primary taxiway is how old? 24 years old. At this time, it's going to be 29, 30. It's going to be past its useful life, okay? Especially in New England with freezing thaw. We really need to be looking at that now for funding in 5 years, or we're going to be looking like Lawrence did last year, okay, with gaps in our asphalt 2 inches wide and everybody's screaming and hollering, why didn't we do something about it? Okay? We want to gut and replace that entire taxiway. While we're doing that, we want to move it. Because when we move it, we just doubled the development, the area of land that we can develop with hangars and incorporate some jet hangars. One of these days, when the boom hits, we'll be prepared for putting in more jet hangars out front. So, any questions on this? So what we're really looking at is the next 5 years, and we've got to get this mark, because when we get this mark in 2022,
and we ask for this money, and we're thinking about putting the plan together 5 years from now, we need $315,000, not $150,000.
Dennis?
Yes.
Can I ask your question on the tax delay? Go back to that.
Yes.
I must have missed something because I thought we just replaced that taxiway.
Oh, we skimmed it.
We just skimmed
we
it.
Passed,
right
we
passed.
We, you know, on a structural basis, on an injury basis, what we did was we made it look pretty.
It's a Band-Aid.
It's a Band-Aid, and it's, you know, it's also, we had some dips and a few problems in some areas that to take care of, and of course, those would be the first one to go. When you see those go, the rest of the taxiway is not going to be far behind. And it is a taxiway. It doesn't get the... Well, you all remember Lawrence's taxiway. I mean, the runway was worse, but...
Sure. Well, the bottom line is the cracks still exist underneath it. So they'll eventually come to the surface, and it'll be just what it was before. That was just a pavement extension. That was just extending the life until you guys could get this in your CIT.
So it'll propagate up.
Effectively becoming the alpha ramp.
They're already reflecting up through that.
Yeah.
Just get
going. Yep.
They'll never let it get that bad, Steve.
Asphalt, one thing about asphalt is it's only as good as what's under it, and that's the number one rule in asphalt. Okay, so again, this is driving us down here on the bottom. You can see we're intentionally coming in light with snow removal equipment so that we're only asking for 16 and 30, and we're hoping to get our 50, and we'll just start, you know, saving up for this moment, and maybe we can fund this $315,000, I'm thinking, over a four-year period, 2 years prior to it, 1 year after, a year during, and then we'll come up with the rest. And we'll need a good 100. If we get 200 from the city over 4 years, we'll have to come up with the other 150, 115. And I don't think the city gave us 200, but it's over the next 3 years, we got time to work with the CIC and kind of position this and plan this. Let's take a look at the timing chart, please. So how do we make this happen? I came up with a chart because this is calendar year, and all of these pinky looking ones are city funding periods or city fiscal years, and the blue ones are when the construction's actually gonna take place. Best guess. All the construction starts in April, June time period, even though we do our funding request in January. We're actually lucky to get the funding approved in July, August, and this year we got our funding approved in October and got our cash in November for something we did last year. Okay, so to avoid that, like this right here, take the first one. Last January, we were at the CIC asking for $22.5 million. The city approved our budget in May, in June. We got the money allocated in July, but we're not doing nothing. When are we going to do this project? Our best hopes are this will get funded in April to June time period, second quarter sometime, but more likely it might get funded in July or here this time period. And this is already in the next year. We could have waited. But this is also a good example of how we need to plan ahead, because by planning ahead, we can take an expensive $1 million project like this and go for funding over 2 years. So what we're trying to do here is plan this funding over the next 5 years, and this is what we're going to present to the Capital Improvements Committee and get their buy-in. Probably ought to put that big job over here, but I don't want to scare them too soon. Baby steps. Last year was the first year we got money from the city, and so we just want to show them what we're going to do over the next several years and how we're going to spend it and when we need it and why. And as you can see, right here is the amount that we're going to request. 22 last year, 41 this year, 50 next year, 50 the following year. And that will completely fund all of our capital improvement program, DOT and FAA money, for the next, well, through 2018. Any questions? If not, we'll move on. From the board, you have this.
Any chance that we're not going to get the funding from the city? How scary is that?
I think there's an extremely good chance we won't get it if we do not go petition for it, just like I've done now, and explain why we need this money, how it improves the airport. And that really is a stipend that we're requesting. We're giving the city $750,000 a year in taxes with nothing back, because we do our own maintenance, our own plowing, many schools. So what we need to do is ask for a piece of the back, and it's reasonable.
What's plan B if we don't get the money back?
Big snow. Yeah. What's happened in the past is that we get these projects, we do these projects, and we go to the city and we ask for money, or at least in my experience, and it's short-lived, and the city says, well, you've already done it. You didn't ask our permission, so now you're asking for money? Go away. Okay? So, I don't know. We need to get them in the process and jump on board, and they did jump on board last year with $450,000 of asphalt improvements.
If I could, Dennis, I mean, what we need to impress upon the city, too, is that we're looking at, in the next 6 years, $10 million worth of improvements to their facility, and we're only asking for $500,000 to make all those improvements. So it's 5 cents on the dollar with the federal program, which I think it's important that we really drill that home, and hopefully they understand really the value that they're getting for the money that they're investing in this facility.
My personal opinion is that I think this is an easy sell. You get this last year and they say $6 million. Wait a minute, you got a brand new runway. You need a taxiway too? Okay, so. But the thing is that this expenditure right here, there won't be any big expenditure for another 20 years. Unless we all decide to build a terminal, which I can't. Anyway, we don't need to direct the traffic we don't have, right? Yes.
How sure are we that the FAA funding will be secured during those future years?
Oh, and we're not. And
nothing is guaranteed to be.
That's another reason. That's another reason to delay, okay, our request and time our request. So we're not asking for money from the city for projects we don't have approved yet, or not even close to getting approval. But around this time of year, in December, before we go to the CIC, we're also doing our final CIP with the FAA and the DOT, and we get a little bit of feedback, okay? Carol inquires, hey, what's your funding look like next year? What's gonna happen? And they talk back and forth, what's the priorities, okay? And by finding out those things, we make a quick shift, okay? Which is what we did here. This was this grooving and sealing, which is going to take care of all that hydroplaning and stuff on our runway for the jets, was actually over here. It actually used to be back here. We moved it forward just 2 months ago to 2018. Then Carol called up and said, hey, I want to move this here because in the ranking... Oh, here's the rankings over here. Okay. In the ranking, the 630 is high enough that she thinks she can get it funded. Okay, sooner, faster, and more big bang for a buck. Whereas the snow removal equipment is only a 48. Our goal is to try to, you know, focus on things in the 50 and above range, and so far, We're getting funding when other people are being passed out. Yes.
I think I heard an explanation as to why the pavement was doubled, but is it related to what you just described? If it's more likely it's over a certain threshold?
No, and the pavement's got a nice whopping 68 safety priority number. Okay. I don't think. This pavement in general, that classification, as long as we have it surveyed and Gail can come out and the DOT can come out and say, yeah, you got some, they can support and say, yes, it needs to be done, it gets a high safety rating of 68.
When we scoped the project, Wes, we realized just how much pavement we have out there that really needs to be rehabilitated. It's a lot.
I agree.
Actually, when we sat down with, you know, people change. This whole group is, you know, new except for Mike. We've sat down with the DOT and went over their numbering system and found out what a high ranking this was. It was just a slam dunk. It's doubled them. It's doubled because we've only funded a quarter. What I originally had asked Gil to do was give me a nice plan over several years of how you'd sequence and how much we should fund for asphalt to keep it maintained. And so we did asphalt, okay? So we wouldn't go a large gap without some sort of asphalt program. And as soon as we saw the high priority of it, we just took this one and put it over here and doubled up. And then we doubled up this one. There's no reason for us to wait 12 years when we can do it in the next four. Okay, so I don't think I need a motion here, but I'd like to proceed with submitting.
Shane had a question.
Oh, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, if I may, Mr. Chairman, one question, Shane McLaughlin, for the record. Is the city, the Office of the Planning Department or the City Budget Office involved in the long-term planning with you at this juncture? And if so, have you had much interaction or received a sense from them on what the likelihood is that they might be approving these projects moving forward?
Actually, what we're doing is preparing to go to the committee. And that's the Capital Improvement Committee, okay? They will look at all of the City of Nashville's budget needs for capital projects. They'll make their recommendation to the mayor. And then the mayor approves her budget for the year, submits it to the aldermen who have ultimate authority. And I think the aldermen can add things and delete things off the list, but it takes a certain different vote. Do you want to jump in?
Sure. Capital, anything that's going to be added to the budget requires 10 votes. Even if we just took millions out, if we want to add 10 cents back in, that 10 cents addition requires a supermajority of 10 votes. Any deletion only takes 8 votes. And I haven't seen action on capital. For instance, in the last capital go-around, this last budget, there weren't any changes as far as I can recall. The mayor submitted a budget, and the capital line items that were in there, not very much, was not changed. So I'm making an assumption that changes in capital, an addition to capital requires 10 votes, and that a deletion only requires 8 votes. I know that's true for the operating budget. I assume it's the same for the capital. But there were no changes in the capital budget last time.
Thank you. And you know, I'll sum up with two items. One is that it takes a little bit of political effort, okay, on our part, communication at all levels with the committee, with the mayor, with the alderman, to present our budget, sell our long-term plan. And the second item is that we're going in, and I've got, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm in la-la land, going in the city and trying to present a $50,000 a year support budget. And last year it was so hard to get the $22,500 approved. The committee went through the committee, but the hardest sell was with the mayor, because the mayor expects this organization to be self-funding, period, okay? Why can't you guys make money? Why can't the airport afford this $50,000 a year? So, and that's our ultimate goal, but we're gonna need help, in my opinion, over the next 5 years to get to this point until, that's down the road, renegotiate 40-year-old leases and stuff like that. So, anyway. So,
So going forward, January 4th is when you will be presenting to the CIC?
For the date?
Mike
will present this to the CIC. So I'd like to, there's a few numbers up and down, $10,000 or $20,000 to get things settled on our submittal to equal out so we don't exceed $50,000 on our CIC. Let's show the CIC if you can again.
But other than that, if you have any comments, let me know. And we'll complete this middle next week, and Mike will be in attendance on the 4th. I wasn't planning to be there. If you want to go, you can. I don't know. I don't know if I'll be there or not.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
So who?
I'll go along.
But Steve and Mike are going to be our primaries on this one.
Can I ask
a question? Yes.
So the submission for the next fiscal year, which is 17, is going to include the doubling of that paving, and it's going to include master plan. Is that correct? Just those.
Yes, it is. For a total of $820,000 and a budget request of $41,000.
And have those two things, those things haven't been approved by the feds or DOT yet?
They're being submitted in January.
Okay.
And go back to the timing chart. And again, those items, if they make the budget for, they're going in for this January, the blue items here, for funding, and if they get funded and the project spans this period, then I'm going to need city funding for that fiscal year. And it actually works pretty good when you start looking at it this way. To get the request the funding from the FAA, to find out, get their answers back in that May-June time period of where we stand, and just in time to call mayor and say, hey, I didn't get money anyway. Or yes, we will be using it. But always have a backup plan to use it elsewhere. Okay, so. Okay, let's move on then. We can keep the projector on for a minute.
Lights up.
Yeah. Every year, given 5 years.
And a rolling 5-year plan every year, is that
6 years?
Yeah.
And so are they approving a 5-year plan tentatively anyway?
1 year at a time.
Yeah, Steve has how many pages?
25
pages.
I don't think we submit all
so
of them.
So every, you know, so each of these projects has 3 or 4 pages of explanation and background, all kind of stuff. So every time we tweak the numbers a little bit here or there, he has to go back and change the entire thing. So I love doing that. Anything else? Okay. Committees. There's no committee right now, but we do have the S&P committee, but that's also old business. We'll move to old business. And oh, I see. I've yet them again.
Apparently, it's accepted as submitted.
Okay, the airport engineer. Thank you.
Eric Strand, Gale Associates, for the record. Happy holidays. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. Great to see everyone. Got the 6 projects on the list. It says November, but it's obviously December. Safe to assume we're not doing a December meeting. So happy holidays. Project number 1. It's closed out. We're just waiting for New Hampshire DOT to process the grant amendment still. You'll notice that we don't have 7 projects like we've had in the past because one of the projects has finally been paid out by New Hampshire DOT and is finalized. Project 2, the wildlife fencing, it's for all intents and purposes done with the exception of a few minor punch list things and the additional fence behind the properties that have recently just been acquired by the airport. Right now, the additional fencing is on hold until the properties are demoed so that we don't put fence up and have to disturb it with tree clearing efforts and also the demolition of the 2 properties. As it stands right now, the demolition of the properties, which I'll talk about, is slated for the next few weeks, and it's looking like the fence will be up right before the holiday. So that's the intent, but well, first I'm going to end there and then I'll talk about the hurdles of the next project. We submitted a draft supplemental for review. It was reviewed and approved by both New Hampshire DOT and the airport. Thank you. I believe it's here for signature from the chairman. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate. We appreciate that. Any questions on the fencing project? Okay. Property acquisition, projects 3 and project 4. I'm going to lump them together because both properties have been acquired. As Mike alluded to, the property, you guys have been reimbursed by New Hampshire DFC and the federal government, FAA, for the acquisition of the second property. So now both properties are in the process of being demoed. We held a pre-con back on November 6th. We started construction on the 16th. Right now we are in a holding pattern waiting for the city to issue the demo permit. All the utilities have been shut off, capped the street, everything that's required. The city just has a 14-day holding period before they can issue the demo, is what we've been told by the contractor. They anticipate being back on site this week to demo the two properties. It'll take about 3 days, all said and done. They also are going to be clearing the trees, relocating the shed, and disposing of the other sheds that are the old FAA shacks that are on the airport, and finishing up that project. With the exception of site restoration, before the holidays is the intent at this particular time. But it's contingent upon that demo permit coming from the city. I just spoke with the contractor before the meeting. They said they've submitted everything that they need to the city. All the utilities are shut off as required, and the city's just in the process of issuing the permit. So I'm going to actually make a call tomorrow morning to the city to see if they need anything from the airport or from us to finalize that and get that done. Any questions? Steve, I don't know if you want to talk about the tree clearing at all. Or
no.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
All right. That's pretty much it for that for projects 3 and 4. Project number 5, airport master plan, that was just brought up as part of this. We did the scoping meeting back in September for this project. Shortly after putting together kind of an outline for what the master plan was based on the scoping meeting, FAA decided that they wanted to use Nashua as a guinea pig for all intents and purposes, and they want to do what's called a compliance chapter in this. So the compliance chapter that they outlined and sent off to the airport for inclusion into the master plan was very robust. New Hampshire DOT and the airport both looked at it and said this is very intense and probably not required. So we've done probably 4 telecons with the FAA and New Hampshire DOT to kind of reel that back into a manageable size and get it included. And then we've done that finally. All parties have kind of agreed on the scope for that. Gail has put together a scope, submitted it to a scope for the overall project, and submitted it to the airport for review. And we're meeting next week to kind of hash out the details of this. I think Dennis alluded to it at the last meeting that the master plan scope became a very intense, very robust thing, and we're going to have to probably hone it in as to what it is and what it's going to include based on funding and what's eligible for funding. So we look forward to doing that in the near future. Again, this is something that we can't start until funding is in place for this project, but we do need to get this scope hammered out so that we can get a grant application into the FAA in the very near future. Any questions?
So what you're saying is the scope that we generated needs to be trimmed down?
I think New Hampshire DOT and FAA are probably going to say some things aren't eligible. We can find creative ways to get some of it included, but I think they're going to take the hard line that they typically do and say some things are not eligible for reimbursement. And there's a couple of decisions. It's either take it out or find other ways to fund it, which means airport or maybe state apportionments, which is very slim in New Hampshire. So I think we're going to have to make some concessions on some of the scope based on the scope meeting. But we can also find ways to creatively get it into certain portions of it and try to get good working product at the end of the day.
Okay.
Thanks, Dave.
Just state your name for the record, okay?
David Shumlin. Couple questions then about the projects 3 and 4, the property demo. Is that totally funded?
Those are totally funded, correct.
Okay. 95%.
not quite. It's 195, 190. The federal government back in 2012, which some of this money was recovered from the underruns and the runway project, was funded at 95% from the federal government, 2.5% from New Hampshire DOT. 2013, they went to 90% from the FAA, and New Hampshire went to 5%. So the matching share was 5% from the airport. And the second piece of the funding, which is Project 4, is at 90%.
So is there a shortfall that the airport authority has to make up here?
No.
Okay. But it's all squared away.
It's all funded. Funding's in place. As Dennis alluded to, funding was issued on the last day of the fiscal year. And appropriated by Governor Council through the state in October. We started in November. So the airport had already expended the funds to purchase the property, and this reimbursed them for their expenditures.
Okay. And the Project 5, the master plan, when is the scope meeting going to be? What's the timeline on the scope meeting and determining what the scope is going to be?
The scoping meeting happened back in September with the airport, New Hampshire DOT. FAA was represented shortly thereafter. They didn't attend the scoping meeting. It happened with the CIP meeting at the same time. And then we went back, took a look at what everyone kind of threw out. It was kind of like a brainstorming session more than a scoping meeting. We put together kind of an outline for the project and came up with a very robust outline for what everyone kind of threw at the wall and would see what would stick. Based on that, we submitted that to the airport and FAA, and that's when FAA started to ask about the compliance section. That got added into it, and we've kind of been in a limbo waiting for FAA to make a final determination on the compliance chapter for the past 6 weeks. As government, it takes a little while to get things approved, obviously. And now, shortly thereafter, we put together a scope based on what that outline of the finished product was going to look like. I think it's like 23 pages of scope, if I remember correctly, that we just submitted to the airport and the authority to take a look at. And then we're going to meet next week to kind of review it. I would hope everyone would come to it. Anyone who's going to attend would just be prepared to go through it. There's a lot there. The meeting could go on all day if we come in there unprepared. So I just ask anyone who attends, please review it in advance so that...
Well, the plan is on... the 9th, December 9th, that's Tuesday or Wednesday morning. In Bedford for a couple hours, we'll meet with the DOT and with Gail and hash out some of these changes so that we can file our petition, okay? I talked to Carol at the DOT about bringing in some users and some key personnel as far as this brainstorming session. And she said, no, I prefer that you don't. Let's sit down and just get this submitted as fast as we can. But it's my full intent to establish a very well represented group of individuals who are very interested in development and where this airport's going over the next 10 years. Because a master plan is absolutely worthless if it doesn't suit the users. Okay, because the master plan is developing this airport and we use it, so it's got to match. I was a master planner for Fort Hood, Texas, and it was absolutely mind-boggling. Okay, what came out of the Pentagon for plans? First thing I'd do is I'd grab them, I'd run down to the battalion motor hook pool for the brand new big transportation company, their new motor pool, finding that the bays weren't even long enough for their new trucks. Okay, or they didn't use pits anymore underneath the vehicles. And I loved Red Lane plans to send them back. The bottom line is, you got to get in the trenches. We got to get out to you and see how to make this airport more effective with the tower. Everybody, the more the participation, but we don't want to get boggled down either. How long does the master plan normally take you?
One of this size is probably 18 to 24 months.
And so it's, I want to do it in phases kind of too, because you can't work on everything at once. No. And you don't want the same people on everything. You got to give people a break. So we'll put together a menu, and then we'll go out to you to find the chefs to help us create the menu. Okay? Yes, Wes.
I'm curious about two points. One is, whenever a federal agency asks for compliance information, I'm curious as to what they're interested in. And two, I understand that they won't pay for some topics. I'm curious as to what those are.
FAA has some buzzwords, if I may.
Yes.
FAA has some buzzwords, things that are attributed to marketing, which are very important to an airport, especially for sustainability. And the key word here is sustainability. Marketing efforts are not AIP eligible, but if you talk about sustainability and initiatives like that, you can phrase things certain ways to make it eligible and stuff like that. In terms of compliance, FAA has a big initiative, partly because they have George Pantelli, who is their new compliance officer here in the New England region, and he's a former consultant, having been on the other side doing master plans, has always thought, and it's a very good idea, is that compliance should be built into a master plan so that you're addressing the compliance issues rather than kind of ignoring and pushing them more down the road.
What compliance issues?
I personally didn't look at what their compliance issues, what their compliance document that they're looking for, because I'm not a planner. But it's something that we'll definitely talk about at the scoping meeting, the review of the scope. My guess is things like land use, grant assurances, and the compliance with grant assurances is a big topic with the FAA, a big hot button. But the exact particulars, I'm not 100% positive. And it's something that...
So, but the thing is, the compliance thing is something the FAA is going to use. The master plan is something we're going to use. And I guess the FAA will reference it too, but it looks like they want a report card on it.
Yeah, probably. They want to make sure that you're meeting your assurances that you sign off on when you take federal funds.
Yeah. Okay, so this master plan is something that I've been pushing for 6 years. Initially, I've always been pushed off, wait until the airport's done, wait until the runway's construction's done. And then it was waiting for funding. And so now we're at the crux of getting it funded. I hope it passes muster this year. What's the number on it?
It's
got a low number. It's got 68? Wow, it's not a safety issue, though.
It's right there. FAA loves master plans, so they view them as a safety and compliance issue, so it's therefore it's a very high probability of being funded.
So 68, it's as important as your asphalt. Okay. Yes, Dave.
Thanks. do you guys conduct those meetings, those scope meetings? Who actually chairs and conducts those?
We prepare for it, we schedule it and prepare for it in conjunction with the airport, and then we just kind of get all the people to the table and we brainstorm. We prepare the scope, and we just are getting everyone at the table to make sure that everyone's issues are being addressed and put forth into this document.
Can I ask what some of the additions were? I mean, a brainstorming session, you said you're putting stuff out there and seeing what sticks, that kind of thing. What are some of the things that the NAA wanted it to include, or that you guys wanted it to include, or that the FAA, I mean, I understand the compliance, but...
So the FAA, again,
I can, I'm still waiting for the minutes of the meeting and the notes. And I thought this was it when you emailed it out. This is just a list of questions and things, procedures. I'd appreciate it if you could publish that right away, and then I can get it out to you, Dave. And I want to communicate it to other members, too. And I found myself, it was pretty interesting because we're talking about different issues, and it was like a three-hour meeting about do we need a new tower? Do we want a terminal building? It turns out the terminal buildings are not that hard to fund, but they're could be pretty expensive. But what are we going to do with it? Well, it's a center to congregate. It might replace some of our existing buildings out front, but some of the things that the FAA won't fund, for instance, is if we build a terminal complex that's a central area for classes and training and has support rooms and that kind of stuff. If we have a cafe in it, they won't fund it, okay? Because that's an income generating venture. But that's where I'd want to put a cafe,
I think so.
Okay?
Not always.
The de-icing, we asked them to look into that. We asked them to look into aircraft washing. We asked them, so many things.
We talked about intermodal and bringing other modes of transportation here to get users to the airport. We talked about,
we got into marketing, we got into operations, we got into FBO operations, we got into general aviation uses.
So can I jump in for a minute? George, who was instrumental in doing our, you know, the project that we presented to the city and stuff, now has a new job. And he has offered to give us all a class on grant assurances and all of this stuff that, you know, we can't all, as a board, go to these meetings, unfortunately. So I feel as much in the dark as a lot of people. I don't like it. It makes me crabby. So George has offered to give, you know, help us all out and come and give some talks and where we can all be educated on grant assurances and all the different things going on, the CIP and stuff. So Steve, hopefully, will be setting that up soon with George. I know they were having lunch one day and talked about it. So I certainly will attend, and I'll definitely put a message out for everybody because, you know, a small group can't always think of all the things that might be important to everybody else. So I think it's important that we all, you know, participate and give feedback, like Dennis said. So hopefully we can do that soon. Do you think you can set that up with George?
Sure.
Or I can call him. And I would love to do it, you said December 9th, so that's pretty quick. It's your next get-together.
Yeah. The last thing I want to happen is have Gail tell us how to run our airport. Or, you know, their job is to record, provide technical assistance, update the plans, and listen to us of what we need, okay? But it also, they're going to be very instrumental in providing research. What's our references? You know, where should we be doing? What are other airports doing? And I look forward to seeing a lot of that. Well, let's move on. Any more master plan?
No, I just have one. If I could finish my report just real quick. We do have one other project, which is the pavements that we alluded to. We've scoped that. We put together scope and sent it off for review. Have comments back from the DOT and the airport. And we've actually, because of the late time of the year, we've authorized our soil sub and geotechnical sub to go ahead and do the soil boring and the survey work that's required so that we can actually physically design the project and get prepared for doing the required plan preparation so that we can bid it and put a grant application based on actual costs for construction. They will be starting the field work this Friday, tomorrow, and continuing through next Tuesday. Most likely the drill rig will be done by the end of the day Friday, with light work potentially on Monday, but the survey crew needs 3 people to do their work. So they'll be down on the 3-2-N on the apron and taxiway down, there. So I'm sure if you have any concerns, talk to Steve. Nick will be out here full time as well with them. So if you have any questions, don't hesitate. So that's all I have. You guys mentioned the CIP, which I was going to mention. Also, DB reporting. We've gone back and forth. As part of your grant assurances, you're required to report DB expenditures for the past 2 fiscal years, 14 and 15, as part of your ongoing 3-year plan. DB, disadvantaged business enterprise, federal government's way to get minority and disadvantaged businesses into projects. And the airport has to do a 3-year plan, which takes a look at what the projects are and what type of DBs are eligible to do work, and they create a goal, a race, gender-neutral goal, or target, in this case, to try to achieve with all those projects. In this case, you're now required to report. The reporting is pretty extensive. It's part of our contract to do for you guys, so we're in the process of doing that, going back and forth with the FAA as to exactly what they want, and working on that now, so be in touch.
Okay. Thank you.
The only thing is, if you guys need us in attendance at the CIC on the 4th, we'd love to attend. Just let us know.
Good. Yes.
I just had a general curiosity question on the property demos. Are they taking all of those trees down on the property?
They are. Dave. Yeah. They'll just become obstructions at some point, and we'll have to deal with that.
I was thinking more for the neighbors.
Plant some lower the leaves.
The fence is going back up. A portion of it's going to have privacy slats in it to try to mitigate the shock and awe factor of cutting the trees. But it is an airport. Properties will be gone. And it's to preserve anyone from potentially developing it in the future. That's why it's acquired in the first place.
Okay.
And it is technically in your RPD, which we didn't choose either in the first place.
Okay. Moving on. Thank you again. To old business, S&P review proposed changes. I don't want to dwell too much on this. I feel like I'm responsible for losing the last 2 months. We didn't, I wasn't ready to discuss this in October from our September meeting when we reviewed the S&P, and we didn't have a meeting last month. So pretty much what I'd like to do is take the red line S&P that is a result of our September meeting, and the letter that I prepared to the committee, and send that back to them, ask them to review it. Hopefully they can do it very quickly and concisely with maybe a meeting or however they want to handle it, and have it come back. The default is that we approve the changes that are acceptable to us, and that we do not change the paragraphs that are not. But I'd like to send it back to the committee, see what they come up with the instruction letter that I prepared. So you've all had a chance to read that. If not, read it now. And let me know if you're okay with that plan. If not, we can punt.
I do think you should send it back to the committee to review. This is all stuff, you know, that we discussed a couple meetings ago about the changes that the S&P proposed and our concerns. So Dennis just outlined, you know, some of the red line thing, which, are you going to email it to everybody?
Yes. No, I'm going to email it to the chairman and let him handle it.
He's out of the country. I think you
should. The vice chairman. I see him right there.
Thank you. Okay. Which is why it's important to have a vice chairman. So, so you should. And Dave is great on the computer, so you guys should have it in 2 or 3 months.
No problem. Really, it's just red line. Everything's approved. It's been with Mark on the plan.
Okay. Anyway, there's three paragraphs. I have a copy. I can make everyone copies if you want, or you know, just email it. And if you guys can, you know, have a quick meeting, talk about our concerns, and if you don't want to, if you're comfortable with how things are, or if you think you can work around our concerns or whatever, get it back to us as soon as possible, because then we will have to go through the whole process, right? The public meeting and all that stuff.
Yes, that's the procedure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when do you propose that one? Okay.
Well,
what are you hoping for it to
if occur? The committee gets back to us 2 weeks prior to the December meeting, that'd be great, but I don't expect that.
Are we having a December meeting?
I meant the January meeting, sorry.
Okay.
So,
do you guys want to shoot for January, or do you want to shoot for February? What do you want
to
do?
Well, let them look at it, and then they decide. They really haven't seen the package yet.
Rob is back for...
He's gone again, isn't he?
A short period.
He's back on the 7th.
He'll be back.
I understand.
Going
he's
like
going to watch or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, anyway, do you want to make a motion? Or you want to just start?
Yeah, I just want to add that I did review the red line version that you prepared, and I think that accurately reflects the board's discussion at that meeting that we had when we went over things.
Right. Yeah. The red line thing. And his letter.
I don't think we need a motion. We just need consensus. That's
okay.
We can move it. The four of us didn't think that we might vote on it, but it just needs to go back to me.
I like voting.
Okay.
Does the letter exist that explains it?
Yes.
Yes, and I'll give you a hard copy before you leave today. Okay, in fact, if you want to give them up, you said I might have 2 hard copies for you, okay? But with a 25-page document, you won't take too many.
Shane has a question.
Can you email that to all of us, all the members of the committee?
Yes.
Pardon me?
Can you email that to all of the members of the committee?
I think that would
be nice. Well, I can. I thought I'd email it. Okay.
You have everyone on the committee.
Yeah, you okay with me emailing it to everybody? Okay, yeah.
I didn't need to second guess a bit.
No,
yeah, I'll get that done.
Expedite. We'll get it sooner than 3 months. So.
Yeah.
Okay, done.
Okay.
Okay.
Moving on to new business. The above-ground storage tanks, the lease overpayment and reimbursement requests. Rosenblum's on that one. I didn't put that, your name on that.
Okay.
Would you like me to introduce it?
Sure. Upon review of the lease with Infinity, it appeared that we had been overcharging them based on the lease that was in place. And as a result, there is a request for reimbursement of the overages, which go back a number of years. And I don't have the exact figure, but it's in the tune of around $10,000.
It's like $200 a month, or the max was two. No, never got it more than 900. About $125 a month. $125 to $175 a month for the last 7-8 years.
So we're sorry for overcharging you, okay? What do you propose we do?
Okay, so before we make a move motion to say, I want to address your comment, and for the record, okay, state something. The way I feel is that this is not an overcharge, and it definitely did happen. It was a mistake over the last 7-8 years where we charged more than the contract allowed. The contract is a fixed cost, $750 a month for tank rental fees, okay? We were changing that, I don't know how often, but it grew from 750 to 920, 930 or something, final this year. And we were doing that for a reason. That reason is that we have two FBOs, and one of the FBO agreements says that your tank rental is fixed and your fuel flow fees change every 2 years. And that was the case here. The other FBO agreement said your fuel flow fees are fixed and your tank rental changes every 2 years. Okay? So, you know, you look at it and you go back to the record and you're wondering, okay, so how the 6 and 7 cents get to 8 and 9 cents today? And, well, it doesn't mix up. Anyway, the bottom line is, I believe it's my intent that both FBOs were charged the same in an equitable manner, so there was no favoritism or discrimination, and that's what happened. Over the last 20 years, charges to the FBO were desired to be the same. So in that, what happened? We overcharged Infinity Aviation $10,000. We undercharged them $110,000 in fuel fees over the same time period. Gee, we didn't really need money. We were in the profit. I'm not there. I wasn't. Roy, you didn't even know the contracts existed, probably, or didn't research each one. We have 48 people to bill. Actually, 50 with two FBOs, that's 50. So, and there's contracts dating back 40 years. So the terms of those contracts might have gotten mixed up. But the bottom line, with Infinity Aviation, we overcharged them $10,000 and we undercharged them $110,000. Unfortunately, the way the contract reads is that we do the billing and we charge them a fixed rate. We overcharge them a fixed established rate of $750. We charge them more than that. But on the fuel flow fees, we have the option to increase it every 2 years based on the CPI index. Since we didn't exercise that option on the anniversary dates, then that option expires. Can't go back and collect that. But on the other hand, there's no argument that we overcharge the $750 and we owe it back to them upon request. Okay, that's the legality of it. We've checked. So
With that said, okay, I would propose that we reimburse, that's as a treasurer, we've got one or two options. I would say we reimburse them over 12 months, starting January 1st, the full amount, broken down over a 12, you know, a monthly basis, or we just cut them a check for the full amount in January.
My request to do it in one lump sum to just clean our books and get them corrected. Also, I need to talk to the auditor to see if it affects our previous year's audit, because it's a subsequent event that affects the financial records of last year. But my recommendation would be is to reimburse for the $10,000 and then change as one lump sum period.
Okay.
I second that. Is that a motion?
No,
that's a motion.
Okay. Wait, no.
I don't have the exact figure though.
Okay.
Greg, do you know the exact figure?
I can look it up.
It's whatever the amount is in the letter. It's like $10,400.
$10,358.94.
Must be a CPI from 2000. Okay. Okay.
So.
You make a motion,
or we're just going to do it?
Yeah.
Well, yes. You
make
the motion made and
second. I'll second
the motion. And for any further discussion? Yes, I have something I want to say. That's why I said. I have mixed feelings about this. Okay, one of them is that the authority made a mistake. We owe somebody money, and the other one is just common business sense. What is right? What is wrong? Over the time period, nobody intentionally made a mistake. When you look at the fact that we've overcharged them $10,000 and undercharged them $110,000 in an effort to keep the FBOs equal on equal standing in a competitive environment, to me, it feels like the person you're feeding is biting your hand. You know, why complain over $10,000 when you have benefit $110,000 over the same time period on the same contract? Okay, and you know, I'm not going to make any excuses of how it happened or why it happened, but I do firmly believe that the overall attempt was to keep the FBOs on equal standing. Okay, and do the same for both. And we've got 48 contracts, 50 agreements to look at and maintain and pay. I think on the other side of the coin, the individuals only have one or maybe a couple. So anyway, that's my thoughts on it.
You
want to
hear my thoughts?
Yes.
The Airport Authority made a mistake. I don't think it was any attempt to keep people on equal grounds. I think it was a mistake. It was done. It was, you know, done. Period. I don't think you need to justify it. Whether you raise their rates or not for the fuel flowage, you opted not to at the time. So that was your...
You? Yeah. We? I wasn't here.
I was. The Airport Authority opted not to at the time. So that, you know... What's done is done. We made a mistake. We're sorry. We own the money. We don't have to, you know, banter it around.
No argument with that.
Okay.
I don't think you're going beyond that, looking at the business relationships and working together and cooperating. Yes?
Wes, for the record. For what it's worth, I don't think you have to. I would frame it as you didn't undercharge Infinity, because they just pass it on. I thank you for undercharging me.
Thank you, Wes.
You know, all the airport community was undercharged. The flowage fees
both FBOs just increased their prices that much. So I have no idea what went on behind the scenes at Infinity, and of course, you weren't here. No one in the room probably was here when those decisions were made.
Let's blame Mike.
So, okay, we'll blame Mike. But you know, I think that I appreciate the frustration, but the reality is that it is what it is. And I wouldn't blame the guys at Infinity, and we can blame Mike, you know, but you know, the undercharging and all of that gets blamed on the people who wrote those contracts.
Well,
I mean, because they had one, presumably they were written at different times, and they could have easily looked at one and said, we need to make the second one.
Wes, let's not assume that the undercharging was a mistake, okay? We were undercharging because the money was there. But, you know, the last 20 years, we've only been having problems for three of them, maybe even two. We've accumulated $600,000 or $700,000 and paid our share of a $20 million project. So the accomplishments over the last 20 years of the airport staff was fantastic. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. But on the other hand, you've got to run the business.
And
you have to pay attention.
But just because you can charge somebody something doesn't mean you have to. And I'm not criticizing people for not jumping right on top of it over the last 20 years and staying up to date with the latest and most price, the highest charges we could charge on fuel fleets. What I'm saying is that I firmly believe that the airport was trying to be equitable and treat the FBOs similar, okay, and made a mistake in the way they performed in doing it. And that's what I had said. Yes, Roy?
I think I could add a little insight into this, because if you want to blame somebody, blame me. I was in charge at that time. But the original intent, and I think Shane can back this up, the original, when I got here, we only had one fuel farm. And the original operating rights agreement, I believe as it was drawn up, said that we could do a cost of living allowance every year, not biannual like the other, all the rest of the leases had it, but we annually could go in and make a CPI adjustment on the fuel farm itself. That was written in 1984. I took over like in 1991. It had never been adjusted. But at that time, from 1991, the 22 years I was in was a heyday for this airport. This airport, I mean, every year we'd end up with $50,000, $75,000 in excess that we would put in. We ended up bankroll, you know, we had at one time close to $750,000. It was all put aside to help when we knew we had to rebuild that runway. And that's what it was there for. There was never any intent to do one FBO different than the other one. As a matter of fact, Infinity's lease has been rewritten probably four or five times, I think, from the time it started out with Davidson Flight Service, then it went to it went through five different rewritings. Somewhere along the line, that verbiage in there that said you can make an annual CPI adjustment to the base price of the fuel farm got eliminated. I don't know why or how, but it was always but we didn't start increasing probably for, I'm going to say, 14 years. And then as things started to get tight, we said, well, we took a look at different ways, and we said, well, we can, you know, we haven't done this in 14 years, but it allows us to do a CPI adjustment, which we did. We started doing a CPI adjustment. That's why it went from 750 up to, what, 9-something? But it's like, and somehow, when Infinity's lease got rewritten one of the times, that verbiage got eliminated from it. It was never the intent to eliminate it. Now, as far as the fuel flow is only adjusted once in the 22 years that I was a manager. It went up 2 cents a gallon. I don't know anything else that's only increased that amount of money, so I would think that everybody got a pretty good deal.
Just to be clear, Roy, our lease actually has Keeson's name on it, and it's transferred to us by letter, so nothing was ever rewritten for us.
It was rewritten somewhere before.
Right, I'm just saying that wherever it happened,
but I mean, that lease was rewritten 4 or 5 times, and somehow one of the times it got eliminated. And okay. It was an oversight. We messed up on it.
Excuse me, Ken Silverman. And the increases didn't start to be involved until after we took over, or right before we took over. So 2006, 2007, but the lease with Keystone had been written many years prior. So the clause that you're mentioning was not in there for many years. But then, years later, when we finally, right before Krisky died, that changed. You guys started to increase the...
We did say, that's when we went back and started doing
it. And what I'm saying is, we might find why that rate increase happened. Something else may have happened, okay, and with another organization on the airport to have the management take a look and try to make things in equilibrium again, okay?
What was the intent? Was to treat one the same as the other?
My point is that there's no reason for us, the airport community and the board, to make a profit except to fund this right here for the airport. And something that's been done over the last 7 or 8 years we're only charging what we need to make things happen, and to pay it back is just, especially when we could have charged it in another manner, okay, the same amount. It's crazy, but I'm going to stop, okay, and call for the vote, okay? All those in favor of paying the $10,000 and change, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. All those opposed, okay, unanimous. We're paying them in January.
Now I'd like to hand off this holiday wish list to you. Okay, what's next?
The next item is the AST lease over. Oh, I'm sorry. The fuel flow fee adjustment, January 2016. So, January 1st, 2016 is anniversary for our biannual fuel adjustment fees. And I know I said I was going to come with this information, but I guess the. The process is that we take the formula identified in the agreement, okay, and it's different in the different FBOs, but we only have one FBO now. Well, we have two FBOs, but they're both assigned. Which one are we following anyway?
We follow the tank. How's that?
The Infinity Agreement is pretty much allows us to take the CPI index, or the current CPI index, and divide it by the base index. And in this case, I believe the current index is around 230. The base index for Infinity's contract is based on, I think, a 1996 or 92 CPI index around 160, okay? So 230 divided by 160 times the initial price of Avgas and Jet Fuel in their contract, which I think is 6 and 7 cents.
Correct.
Okay? So, we're currently charging them 9 cents?
8 and 9 cents.
8 and 9 for Avgas and Jet Fuel. So, would somebody do the calculation for me? What's 2.3 divided by 1.6 times 6 cents and 7 cents?
You got it, Mike? Do it on your phone, Doug.
Actually, I got a calculator.
So you're proposing that we raise...
The factor is 1.4375.
Did you do that in your head, Andy?
Yeah, right. So if you want it times 7 cents, you're talking 10.06 cents.
6 cents.
And if you want it times 6 cents, it would be 8.625 cents.
It's the base.
8.625. And the 7 cent one would be 10.0625.
That doesn't sound right.
Yeah,
okay.
That's not right.
Then it's not 1.6, it might be 1.625.
You don't have the figures, did you bring the
one
figures?
Before.
Oh.
We wouldn't, if we were going to raise the rates in 2016, we won't know what the rate, the CPIW is
right,
until mid-January, so.
Right, okay. And well, we don't have, and we don't charge a rate till the end of January.
So
I want to bring this up
because. Make a decision now.
Well, there are a couple of things so that we can put the rates together. And the contract does say that they will use the rates from the January 1st CPI index. Well, there's no such thing as a January 1st CPI index. The CPI index for wage earners is published a couple weeks after every month. Like for January, it will be in mid-February. In February, it will be mid-March. And we also have a year average that's published in mid-January when the numbers for the previous year are put together. So what I propose is that we approve to use the average index for the previous year that's published in mid-January to use to update it. Now, okay, that's the first item. The second item is that we don't have to adjust the rates by the allowable maximum. Okay, it establishes the maximum. We have our current maximum. We can go anywhere in between that we want to. Okay? Do you have a question?
You know, what's your feeling on raising the rates? You know, as Wes pointed out earlier, it's going to just be passed on to the users, which, you know, everyone's already struggling. How badly do we need the money? How, you know?
Okay, well, let's answer that. Now, first off, we have some of the lowest rates of any airport in New England, okay? And we have a responsibility to maintain our budget, provide the services that we do, and we have the responsibility to do that. And one means is a fuel flow fees. And when you talk about the cost of fuel in the $4 to $5 range and going down, our total take is 10 cents. Well, the taxes on that, I don't know what the taxes are on it, but they're easily two or three times that. And it's a small part of it, but we're funding this stuff.
Do you have any other options? Do you have any other ideas of how to raise the money without?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So
this is just one. I think it's the balance of them all.
Why don't we talk about that?
But even, but the okay, I guess Dick and I did a lot of research on this over the year, and it's not a matter of whether we should go from 9 cents to 11 cents or 8 to 10 cents. That's a slam dunk, okay? The question is, why are we charging 20 or 25 cents? Because that's what other airports are doing, and that's what their part of it is. Yes, it is. And, you know, I don't see any need to get up that high. But when we look at our budget and our income sources, we do need to be fair about it, fair to them and fair to ourselves as the NAA.
But are there any other ways to earn that revenue without affecting local people?
No. Somebody's got to be charged for services. Not that I'm aware of.
What about landing fees for transient aircraft?
You're affecting people.
Local people.
Yeah.
What about transient jet fees?
Well, and that is a possibility we can explore. I know where you got that. I talked to somebody about that today.
I was waiting for you to spit it out. You know, I don't know how much more the users can absorb right now. I don't know how much we can absorb. You know, how much more costs people are already not flying much at the moment. You know, how much more can we do? Any input from you guys?
I have a question. I think in previous dialogues about this, it was brought up that, Steve, were you going to do an analysis of surrounding airports or maybe the region for what they were charging for? I could be wrong.
And you did.
We did.
Yeah,
it was quite a while ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Probably 6 to 8 months ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, we're ranking the bottom. Where are we down there?
And I can pull that information out. We can look at it as, you know, for the January meeting. Yes.
Couple of things come to mind. First of all, I'd like to see what the analysis would be as to how much more revenue a 2 cents or so increase would be based on our budget. Secondly, no one likes to pay more than
$14,000. Would you say anywhere from 12 to 14?
Okay. A 2 cent increase amounts to, I believe, less than 1% of the cost of fuel, which would be in line with CPI and cost of expenses over the time. But also, we need to start preparing for the big expense that you had in year five, where we need to, and I believe the city is not going to fund that $300,000 in entirety, that we need to start building up a war chest, a reserve, like we did in times when we needed for the runway to be built. I mean, that's one small way that we can start building up that I think it will affect not only the local users, but also the transients. So it's a sort of fair way to distribute some of those costs.
And I think Mike makes a good point. It's a fair way to distribute the costs. And you can't pick on any one item and overindulge and make it a hardship. And if you look at the numbers from 1982, back the earliest contracts I can find, we're charging 6 and 7 cents. And we've made one major adjustment, was it 10 years ago, Roy, 15? To 8 and 9 cents, and we're making an adjustment now. But the CPI index is designed to protect, overcharging, and lining ourselves up with that CPI index is just keeping us in pace with inflation and people's ability to pay. And I think that's a good analysis of that. And yes, there's other means. The thing with landing fees is that we can decide who we charge landing fees to. If we charge it only for jet traffic, that's only going to be for transit traffic for people who can afford it, and in fact come in and go, whoa, you mean there's no landing fee? It's only going to be like $70, okay? But multiply that times, how many landings did we have this year from jet traffic?
Even if you're thinking you had 10 or 12 a month, it adds up. It's a significant
amount. So it's $1,000 a month, maybe. Okay, so there's the $12,000 right there. Should we charge that? You know what? I almost want to throw that out for a community vote because everybody's on the hook for that. Because the minute we start charging landing fees, we get that friggin' black skull, image of we're charging landing fees. You gotta be kidding me. I mean, it might be jet traffic, but
how many airports don't charge landing fees for jet traffic?
None.
I don't know the answer to that, but
they're free or die.
We are extremely. We travel all over the country. It's a rarity that this airport doesn't. I mean, it's a weird thing.
The only one that I know of is White Plains. But White Plains gave up their landing fees in exchange for jacking up their fuel flow numbers.
Yeah. And the thing is that you got a point, because nobody looks at the landing fee when they decide to go to an airport. I'm looking for the price of gas. That's right. Yes, Wes.
I was going to point out that these guys can speak to what it costs to just park on a signature.
Yeah.
That's above and below landing fees. you know, if you take your 182 to Logan today, if you're not getting out the door, even if you don't buy gas, for less than about $250 to $300.
Yeah. With the security fee.
Yeah. So, but, you know, it's...
Greg Lezon, for the record, I agree with the chair 100% that we have to be careful about having a stigma that we have fees, which is why it would be absolutely ludicrous to suggest any kind of landing fee for a piston aircraft or, you know, a piston twin or any of those. We're talking about business jets that are coming here, whether or not they're paying a $75 landing fee or not. It's not going to change one thing in their operation. We will lose nothing. There's only an upside. And through conversations with, you know, yourself, Sandy, and I can't remember, Mike and I talked about it when we bumped into each other the other day, but what I had suggested, and we would be willing to help out in this endeavor, is that we're already in contact with all these aircraft when they come, and we could offer the administrative side of this so that there would be no cost to the authority. I mean, we could track it, take care of the administrative side, the authority can benefit, and the rest of the users can benefit.
I'd like to throw it out there. I mean, I'm not going to friggin' turn my back on an income stream that, from $1 million jets that land there, and they don't care if they pay a landing fee or not. I mean, that's crazy. So we'll let that hang out there for a little bit, and maybe act on it in January. Yes.
I didn't know if you were soliciting any discussion on this, Mr. Chairman, or not. If you weren't, I was.
On what subject?
On this subject right here, on the landing fee.
Landing fee, yes.
Shane McLaughlin, for the record, I'd encourage the authority to give it serious consideration. One of the added benefits, and particularly if it's in lieu of, for example, a fuel flow increase, one of the significant benefits of a landing fee. In this context, the chair has described very appropriately, and Greg Lezon just did as well, is that it would not burden resident aircraft. So there would be no impact from a cost standpoint to our operations or to base aircraft. And so there would be something of an inducement, something of an encouragement to somebody who might want a base here who is going to be flying in and out regularly. I don't know if that would make a difference for them, but it'd be a plus for us, and I don't see it being a burden as well for the reasons of Greg gave. So I'd encourage you to consider it, please.
Right, thanks for your comment. Okay, so to sum it up, fuel flow fleet adjustments are coming up in January. Something that we all need to be on a tip of our head. We haven't made an adjustment for a decade, and we're having budget concerns. Of course, we're 20,000 ahead this year, but we've got in 5-6 years some long-term planning and savings to do for down the road. So I'll communicate with you on what the options are, get the facts out to you, and we'll publish it for the next meeting, okay? And act on it. You had hand up earlier.
Andy, for the record. I don't know what it is today, but a number of years ago, Teterboro charged landing fees to everybody that were transient aircraft. If you were based there, there was no landing fee, but the transient aircraft all got charged landing fees. So if you charge in jets that are not based there,
I think that would branch down. Okay. Somehow we need to open up and bring people here with events and locations
and
restaurants and and services and maintenance. I think I'm one of those little general aviation guys. I don't go anywhere where they charge me a land. I will not land at least entire Connecticut out of my friggin' landing zone. Okay.
The fuel flow fee as it is right now, right around 7 cents a gallon.
It's 8.9 cents right now.
8 cents for it, yes.
8.9.
And you're planning on potentially bringing it up to 10 cents per gallon, so we're talking 2 cents per gallon.
Yes. Okay. Right. Yeah. Right. Per contract, we're probably maxed out at the For some reason, I know I did the calculations and it came out to 11.5 for JET. It's 11.5 for JET, or 11.3 for JET.
Well, we don't need to do that.
Almost 12.
Using the 2014, January 2014 CPI number in that calculation, it raised both the JET and Avgas 4 cents each.
4 cents each.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
I don't think we can go to the city of Nashville with a straight face if we're not maximizing every revenue stream we possibly can and ask them for money.
Oh, yeah. I can tell you how the mayor would vote on that. She said, are you kidding me? These guys can't afford 4 cents?
And it's a fee that's, you know, it's a fee that's paying for the facility that the users are utilizing. And, you know, my gas station down the road, the price fluctuates 4 cents a week. It goes up, it goes down. I personally think the users would be able to absorb a 4 cent increase.
You think so? Anybody here think gas is cheap for flying?
No.
Everybody's crying out loud now for self-serve, which we'll talk about soon, because they want cheaper fuel. They think that'll be cheaper, right? So everybody wants cheaper fuel. So I don't.
But when I fill up my tank, it's gonna be $240, and we're talking for about $1.20 of that. $1.20 of that being the increased fee, out of $240. So, I think we need to keep pace with the times. I think we need to keep pace with inflation, and we have a responsibility to the budget. Now, if we were making $50,000 to $75,000 every year and putting it in the bank, I'd say no. Gee, let's enjoy this. Let's have the cheapest gas around. But there's a responsibility we have to maintain the budget too and keep this organization going. Yes.
Thanks, gentlemen. I think the thing to do would be to figure out what that value is, because you said 2 cents, you said 4 cents. That's obviously 100% difference, and they're not both right. So find out what the number is. And I think from a user standpoint, a second point, I don't care what the flowage fee is. I just care what it costs me per gallon. And we need to think about what our price per gallon on the field is compared to what the price per gallon is on another neighboring airport.
Yes.
That's our competition. If it goes up and by 2 cents, I don't know that it's going to change anyone's behavior. But someone might say, you know what, those guys over there are a little cheaper. I'll just land there and pick up some gas and go home, which is what I've done. Not necessarily for 2 cents, but you know, we need to think about what our overall price is.
Right.
But I would say get the number, find out what it really is, rather than just speculate whether it's 2 cents.
Okay, so. My thank you. And my intent was to bring this up, spur some conversations, some thoughts, so that January we can make decisions. Okay? So I want to move on. Recording FBO assignment. We summarized the July 22nd assignment of NJA to Infinity, and I have copies here for you, and we don't need a motion on this. I just want to execute it.
I gave it back to you before because you have my name on.
Okay, I'll put whatever name on it you want.
you
but we're both going to sign
it. I haven't signed it.
But I'm ready to execute this if you are. In fact, I'll execute that one, and we can...
Is
your name spelled right?
There's some typos in here.
Typo. This should be blue.
It's abbreviated. J-U-N.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's one typo.
So is this, you know, you're antsy to get this in the file.
It's been 3 months. August, September, October. No, 4 months. Five months.
Yeah.
Oh, 4.5.
So then last night, obviously, you're antsy.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, what I could do is get this taken care of this week, administratively,
mm-hmm.
and send it to
well,
Nashville JET so that they can put it in their records and put it in our records. And I talked to Shane earlier about whether or not they want to do an amendment to their agreement. And bottom line is we need to approve this.
an amendment to their agreement?
Yes.
What kind of an amendment?
That assigns the, FBO to Infinity with these conditions. That's what we voted on. This is part of the record.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the minutes. And this document here is nothing more than recording the motion of 4 months ago. Madam Secretary, I would like to have you execute that as a true and correct copy of the activities on July 22nd.
I will talk with Mary Beth and fix the typos, and then I'll do that. Okay?
Okay.
Will she be in tomorrow?
I believe so.
Good. Thanks. Okay. Do you have anything you want to add? No?
You've covered it.
Good. Thank you. Self-serve fuel facility. That's a new one. I'm throwing it out there. I would like to see a self-serve fuel facility. As soon as we can get one, okay, at this airport. When the DOT did their study on how on all the airports and what's the difference between, the categories of the airports, and identified us as a national airport, and list all the things that makes an airport a national airport. I was extremely proud to see that all these airports around only had a partial listing of whatever type of airport they were. But we, as a national airport, had fulfilled 100% of the requirements. Okay, wow, that's cool. We're the only one in this entire chart. Even the guys who were regional, airports, they weren't as good as we were. So I looked at it, and it's because somebody had made a mistake. Because one of those line items on there for a national airport is self-serve gas. Okay, so it's one of the services that we don't provide that I think we should. And I would like to spur that ahead, okay? To the point where if we don't have somebody locally involved in it, that the airport consider getting involved in it. Now, if the airport gets involved, if the NAA gets involved in self-serve gas, and we're going into competition, so to speak, with our FBO, I don't necessarily propagate that motion, okay? But I wanted to show it to you. Can you bring it up? I want you to understand what it takes to get self-serve gas.
What do you need?
It's on the thing.
Turn the lights off.
What it takes to get it?
Yeah.
Those top two switches.
I think we know.
How about the beater? Next row of lights.
Just hit all those switches.
Yeah.
Put them down.
Put them down.
There you go.
Yeah, got it. Okay. So here's an estimate. I do this for a living. I installed an above ground storage tank last week and this week. There's a 12,000 gallon above ground storage tank. It was for a diesel coach company. There's a couple things different. I modified it for this. Actually, there's some cost savings here, but there's a few things that require more. But we're talking $41,000 in site work, about $90,000 for the above ground storage tank. Comes completely assembled, and you just set it on the ground, and bang, you start pumping. POS card reader and software for $9,000. Concrete pad and bollards around it for $25,000. Electrical for 10, and of course it depends on how far away we're going to run the electrical to the nearest source. And miscellaneous materials for 10, general conditions for 13, and total cost of getting self-serve, 200. And I would challenge myself to probably bring it in at 150, okay?
be a great thing to do this year while I'm still on the board. I'd manage this, get it done. I don't think if turned loose today, I'd have plans in 4 months, have it bid out in 5, have the tank ordered and sitting on the ground in August. Okay? So September maybe. It's not difficult. It's fairly cut and dry once you locate the put the location together where you are. And the question is how does it pay out? It's over here. Just a minute, Wes, I'll come back to you.
Well, you might be about to answer my question.
So here's a brief pro forma. I mean, this is a really basic pro forma. It took me five minutes to put it together. So expense of $200,000, maybe a down payment, and go finance the rest. This authority has the in our charter, we have the authority to go for up to $200,000 in funding. Okay, so really, what it comes down to is getting a bank to look at us and say, "You have no assets." Okay, but we do. Okay, the authority owns the property. Well, and the FAA, I guess. The authority does own assets on this airport, and we have to use those assets to secure loans like this. But the most loan we can go for is 200. The loan rate of 5, I use 8 years, and I play with it so it paid out expenditures, total expenses on a monthly basis with a monthly payment is $2,600. Total income is $2,700, and I'll get how I came up with that. For that income is pretty much zero. But what I want to do is show where the break even was with no income is 8 years. Okay? Again, I think I can improve upon a $200,000. And this is based on taking a volume of gasoline of 4,000 gallons a week. Pretty much that is 1/3 of the avgas volume. I can take 150,000 gallons a year of avgas historically for this airport and assume that you can get 1/3 of that in self-serve. I think self-serve pays out. Now, whether the airport authority does this, which we can handle internally without more labor with their own people because it's automated, okay, or the FBO handles it, the critical factor here is right here, 65 cents per gallon profit. Okay? So without going into further research of, what's the tank wagon delivered and how does that compete with the market, but I got to think that with a 65 cents per gallon markup, the whole reason that I'm pro self-serve gas is it wouldn't it be nice to have the ability to compete with some of the lowest gas providers in the area. Okay? We've already talked about flying somewhere else and stopping off for gas before you come to Nashville. Okay, or anywhere else. Why can't Nashville be one of those locations? Right, so that's it in a nutshell. The question is do you agree with me? How strongly do you feel for self-serve, and how strong does our FBO feel for self-serve? Do you think this is a program you would be willing to undertake aggressively, or the board filling out would we want to go aggressively? I don't. It's not my intent that. To go into competition with any business on the airport directly. We have other ways of managing this for the authority and for a budget and for the users. One is that any self-serve fuel facility, we have the opportunity to sit down and identify and write a self-service agreement. That self-service agreement can do number one. What's the most important thing with self-serve gas? Price. That can control the price. It controls the fees that are paid to the airport. It controls the hours of operation. It controls so many things, okay? But what would it in return the airport authority would guarantee a business the ability to operate that self-serve facility for a given time period. Okay? So, that's it. I want self-serve.
I'd like to hear from the FBO first, see what their response is.
And the FBO, you know, I talked to them today, so it's really putting them on the spot. But what I want to do is hear from the board.
I've talked to a lot of people around about this because I hear all different views. A lot of people think that the self-serve will be cheaper. At what expense? I'd like to ask Joe Carter first for his input because he has some valid points when I talked to him earlier.
I guess a couple of things. I'm not sure the authority, we've already said this, should be competing with an FBO. I don't think in the long term that is a good relationship. And you really don't want to see the authority competition with the tenant on anything. The other side of it is the support. Are people going to use it? That's going to, the only reason I think people use self-service is because it's cheaper. And if it's substantially cheaper, people will use it, but you're eating into the FBO's profits by doing that, and their fuel flow.
And their services.
And their services. Personally, if there was a self-service facility on the airport here, unless it was really cheaper, I probably wouldn't use it much. Because just stopping and restarting the engines could be a major challenge. And it was usage of the engines to do that. Mm-hmm. So probably lose in the long run. If you're trying to get people to come here because the fuel is cheaper, you ought to look and see what other people are charging. Right now, you can go up to Pease, which is a big airport, but there's no trouble getting in there. They're charging, I just looked here, they're charging $420, which is like $1.20 something less than the price listed here. And that's not self-service, I think.
No, it's full service.
Mm-hmm. Minuteman is low, but that's self-service. There are other airports which are $1 or $2, at least $1 cheaper.
Okay. Newport?
And Sanford.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not this is going to work, no matter who does it, it's going to depend on how much cheaper it is than anybody.
And at what expense? That's my fear, like at what expense, you know?
Well, you come up with some numbers how much it's costing to put it in. You've got an 8-year payback on it.
But what are you going to, not that expense, but what are you going to lose? Like what are, you know, what do we risk losing if we put in self-serve?
What do you mean?
You know, how badly will that affect Infinity?
We have 600,000 or 700,000 gallons of fuel, 90% of it, 85-90% of it is jet.
Is it my turn yet?
Yeah.
No, let Wes go first.
Okay.
You're going to take a long time.
I use the word cannibalization. There's only so much business out there on the ramp. And I suspect that Greg's going to say something like this, but we're not finding a way to create more business to feed this new thing. So it's going to cannibalize some of the existing business out on the ramp. Now, I can tell you that I'm at the stage in life where I don't go someplace just based on the fuel price. I patronize Infinity because I get great service there. When I'm inbound and I need to make a fuel stop before I come here, but I can't quite get here, I'll stop at Keene because I like those people. And they have a lower fuel price, by the way, but that's not why I stop there. So, you know, the difference in a dollar an hour in operating costs, you know, I'm in Josie mode. I have to do a hot start on a fuel-injected engine. So I'm not gonna pull the airplane out of the hangar, crank it up, taxi 200 yards to a self-service fuel facility, shut it down, and then have to do a hot start. You know, I would much prefer the full service
of the guy coming over in the truck, loading me up, and I can just go.
The bathroom, the vending machines, the,
Right, and as a resident, that's right. I go over, I get parts. I use their restroom probably more than I buy fuel, being a middle-aged guy.
But you're going for a different market. You can be going for different...
Well, I do self-serve when I'm going across country, and I need a fast turn.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to have to wait for a fuel truck because I'm trying to make 10 hops before the sun goes down.
Or you're trying to spend less than, $900 in fuel.
That's not... Dollars doesn't come into it. When I go to Texas to the National Aerobatic Championships, I know my fuel bill is going to be $3,000.
And
up or down $100, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But, I'll stop based on location and hospitality.
Okay, and to me, it's one of the comments. Anybody? Yes, Dave.
Thanks. My comment earlier about stopping somewhere else for gas kind of relates to being up flying around and stopping somewhere and getting a bite to eat there and then getting gas while I'm there. If I was here and wanting to go flying, I would normally call the FBO locally. For the same reason, my engine's not fuel injected, but still, I wouldn't start up, taxi down there, and come back. I think what the self-serve fuel farm will do, I don't envision a lot of people on the field using it. I think it might bring in some more people who might say, let's go to Nashville because we got a restaurant and we can get some cheap gas. I think that the assessment of the market, I would like to see what Infiniti can come up with and have them do it. I don't agree that we should be in competition with the local business. I wouldn't want to see that. I don't think that's going to be healthy. So I'd like to see if these guys could look at it and what they were doing, and give them some time to do it and see what they think and whatever comment they have now.
Lenny, do you have any civil input?
You have any uncivil input?
Lenny chooses to be quiet.
Okay, great. Please call it.
Well, okay. I'm not sure where to begin, so I'll begin with a little bit of history. It was us who first brought it up back in 2010, as everyone knows. The only reason why we have not put one in is related to the uncertainty of the fuel flows at this airport. Plain and simple. Your 700,000 gallons you're talking about is really about 525 by the time we're done this year. So you have an inflated number that you're using. The number is going down, not up. Putting in self-serve is an economic decision. We want to provide the best service and the best fuel price that we possibly can to everybody in this room and everybody in the airport. That has always been our intent. We have not dismissed the idea of self-serve. It was this board, in the beginning of summer, I believe it was, that voted that no further approvals would be granted until minimum standards for self-serve were established by the board. When that happened, we were supposed to begin a dialogue about what that meant. Now, a lot has happened since then. It didn't happen. So to sit here now and say, what are we doing? I'm going to turn around and say, what would you like to do? Because if you would like to begin that discussion, we're all for it. And if it makes sense, we're in. Okay? On the subject of whether or not the airport authority should be in the fuel retail business, in my opinion, it would be devastating to this airport. And this is why. Our pricing is based upon not just the fuel that we provide, but the service that we provide. We're open from 6 o'clock in the morning until 8, 9, 10, midnight, whatever anybody wants. And we're able to do that because of the products that we sell. The second you cannibalize that number, we have to think about what we can provide. So by establishing another entity that is providing fuel at what you're claiming to be a discounted rate, which I can have a whole discussion about what margins need to be, but we're not even going to have that discussion, you force us to look at what we can provide the community. So you, in essence, alter the trajectory of the airport. And I start to think about things like, I can't man this place after 5 o'clock at night because I'm competing against fuel that nobody's going to buy. They're not going to buy fuel from me because they're going to go to a self-serve tank. So now all of a sudden, when the transient jet comes in at 8 o'clock unannounced, nobody's there to greet it. We don't sell the fuel. The airport doesn't get the fuel flow. They don't get the landing fee. And Nashville becomes like some of these airports that everybody is going to get their cheap fuel, ghost town. Because the reality behind some of those airports is that those tanks are in place and they're put in place sometimes by authorities because no FBO will go in there. So you have cases, and Hawthorne's a great one, where that tank is there to attract people. It's subsidized by the owner of it. He's not looking to make money. He just wants people to use the airport. You can't compare that to Nashville Airport. You can't do it. And there are many other cases that are very, very similar. So do I believe self-serve is something that would be good for this airport? I do. I really do. But not without deliberation, discussion, and, you know, and input from everybody else. That's it.
Yeah, I look at it, this is the perfect opportunity, the perfect timing for self-serve, because it would have the least impact to Infinity. I mean, this time last year, Infinity's volume, the inclusion of the NJA business and gas, the gas business, okay, is an added benefit. I cannot see reducing your volume below what was increased to your services by getting
the
NJA.
You're not paying attention to the numbers.
Okay.
Because the fuel flows on the field are on decline.
Well, they are declining. And I use 600, not 700. But I'm using last year's numbers. But I was also very conservative, just showing a balance it out in 8 years. I could also balance it out in 10 years or be a little bit more aggressive with earnings and markups and try to balance it out in 7 or less, okay? It's right now, it's what I'm trying to show is it's possible. Whether you do it in 5 or 10 years, it's possible for this board or you or any business in this airport to operate self-serve and make it pay out and at least pay it off. The good thing is after 8 years, according to this formula, it's a $30,000 a year income if the volumes keep up, but we don't keep on degrading. So,
you know, but also, you know, my concern with that, and, you know, so say their business takes a huge hit, if they choose not to do it. Their business takes a huge hit, then what do we lose? Like, what do we lose? You know, they move, they do something else. Then where are we? What kind of income do we have?
There's no difference between post to self-serve and pre having two FBOs, okay? I don't think anybody sees the volume of gassing and the self-serve avgas being more than a third of what the total avgas business is here. Last year, the two FBOs pretty much shared the avgas, 50-50, okay? So Infinity's share of the avgas for this bill would be more. I'm just saying, I guess what I'm really doing here is I don't want to propose going into competition with Infinity. I want to propose a self-serve fuel facility so that we can get gas for less. Because, you know, I've gotten so many comments here. I'd rather pay the extra dollar a gallon for fuel, but I don't want to pay the 2 cents a gallon so I can raise the fuel flow fees. Okay? You're in left field and right field. Okay? So, and I put these two on the agenda together tonight to point that out to you because I predicted this outcome. Okay? No, I don't want to save money self-serve, and no, I don't want to spend more for fuel flow fees. Okay? But it's something we need to be thinking about because this board needs to balance the budget. And if we can't increase our fuel flow fees,
then we've got to look for other sources of ways to make money, and self-serve fuel is one of them. And what I like about self-serve is that is going to improve the services on this airport.
I disagree. Not in and by itself, and if it's done improperly, it could seriously impact services. Now,
if done improperly,
I am going to repeat what I said at the beginning of this. You're right. You did kind of put us on the spot when I saw it on the agenda. I have no problem talking about it, as I told you this morning when we spoke on the phone. But the bottom line is that this was left in a place. We have already invested money in engineering. We have already gone in a direction. And again, this board stated that they wanted control over this. And now we're sitting here listening to you talk about how you want to go into the fuel business.
Okay.
I'm trying to make the connection.
Let me clarify what the board did, okay? We did not say that we're going to create minimum standards, but more procedures
for
procedures.
Self-serve.
Okay.
I know precisely what we said.
Yeah, the idea there is that you came to us 4 years ago and you said, we would like to investigate self-serve. I just want to make sure that you're going to approve it if we put it all together. And we said yes. That was the end of it. Okay. I know you did some engineering and some planning, but for 4 years. We kind of had a self-serve license out there. Things changed in 4 years. And what we were doing earlier this year was seeing consolidation, you know, bringing it back in and saying, look, we're putting a stop to this open license to have a self-serve facility whenever you want it, okay, with no terms negotiated. And what we did do is say, if you want to come back and do self-serve, okay, and I can guarantee you that this board wants self-serve, okay? We're going to sit down and negotiate terms, okay?
Sure.
I don't see any point in going forward with self-serve. It's being sold the same price as full service, but after hours. Okay, what does that gain us? Nothing. We'd like to see discounted gas and fuel, and we'd like to see fees paid to the airport that may not agree with the current fees you're paying on fuel flow fees. I don't know what it is. I'm one member of a board, but there's a whole range of things that we can sit down and negotiate to make things work for you and for us.
So I think, Dennis, I think it's wise now. We talked about, you know, how anybody could come in. We can't really deny them business. Maybe I want to open up a self-service.
Exactly.
Okay, so why don't we, at this point, make sure we get together and work on minimum standards very quickly. Let's get it done, get it organized, and get it together so that we have those in mind, and we can present them and move forward.
And then there's no minimum standards for self-serve. They're just, I guess... Whoever wants, if you come to me and you want self-serve,
yes.
Okay, I'm going to sit down and do a bit, you know, review your business plan and tell you what I want,
right.
Okay, and we're going to negotiate back and forth. You know, maybe if we're collecting 10 cents a gallon on full service, maybe I want to make it 20 cents a gallon on self-serve.
Didn't we talk to...
It's not minimum standard, just...
We talked to Infinity early and put everything on hold, right?
We're taking it out of the ozone layer and bringing it back and saying, if you want self-serve, come back to us and we'll talk about it. That's the only intent.
But Dennis, there are some standards on self-serve that are required regarding fire codes and distances from other structures,
yes,
and things like that. Those have to be adhered to or written down so that...
No, we don't have to write them down. They're code.
They have to be known so that someone can set up a business plan based on what's required.
I disagree on that because we don't have to repeat code. It's like what the S&P committee went through. You know, you won't have to repeat what the FAA establishes as procedures. That's the basis, okay?
Well, we do need to get our minimum standards done, right? We talked about that. We haven't worked on it. When are we going to do that? Let's get it done.
Okay. I'm not too sure you understand what I'm saying.
I understand you're saying it has nothing to do with self-serve.
It's a minimum, it's more of a, not a minimum standards of the operation self-serve, but establishing the contract terms, the agreement terms, the fees associated
for
with
self-serve.
It, whether we want to have them do a price survey and be at a certain percentage of the average cost of self-serve gas in the neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
certain, I guess I want to say control, okay? And it's not minimum standards per se.
But we do need a minimum standards, right? And for them, do you want to move forward with self-serve?
I'll answer that.
Hmm.
Up until I walked into this meeting, I wanted to proceed with self-serve. At the moment, I have a chairman that I'm dealing with all due respect, who is talking about negotiating contracts under new sets of terms, new numbers, and such. So what I'm going to tell you is that I am more than willing to discuss the development of self-serve. But I can make no promises given what I have watched here.
I can realize, and you should be thinking about that, okay? Because I doubt, okay, well, I shouldn't say that, but to assume that you're going to start a new business and provide new services at the airport using the antiquated terms of prior agreements is a bad assumption.
Nobody was making any assumptions of the kind. However, the assumption was that we would always proceed in good faith.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm feeling now is something different. What I'm feeling now is a bit more antagonistic.
But no, don't read between the lines.
Well, listen, I'm not reading between the lines. You presented something on the board that is in competition
mm-hmm.
with the fuel provider that's on the airport. I'm not reading between any lines. I don't think anybody would disagree with
okay.
that statement.
Okay, say you want
so
to do this.
Listen, we don't need to belabor this.
Yeah.
Okay, I was asked the question, I answered it. The answer stands. I would be more than happy to work with whoever would like to discuss the matter. If you want to do an open forum, that's fine too. But it was put on a shelf 6 months ago, and ever since then we haven't talked about it. So let's talk about it.
Okay.
Well, I think I'm getting the sense that the board wants to take it off the shelf and put it back into motion.
That's fair enough.
Absolutely. With undue haste, and you know, let's do it with a plan and objective to have it done within a certain time period. Even okay, it's easy to sit back and wait, but and the board can help with things. Okay, if there's so many options available, you know, we have the facilities. Maybe we can share in the cost. I mean, it's the board has money. What we don't have is a future cash flow plan. Okay, and I've said that a couple times this year. I have no problem investing in something that's going to generate income for this organization. And if it involves a partnership with the FBO or any other services that are offered here, great. The bottom line is we got to look out that 5-20 years to fund these projects and other services for the cash flow. Okay? We've got a couple $100,000 sitting in the bank doing nothing. Absolutely nothing. Okay? But we can't make our bottom line match. So what that means is it's an unhealthy organization and we're starting to decline unless I can't use that $200,000 to improve our cash flow. That's my thoughts. Yes, Wes.
I feel obligated to ask this question. A couple months ago, the board wasn't willing to invest in a revenue producing new fuel farm to support the second FBO. And now the board seems to be talking about investing in a fuel facility, having previously stated they weren't interested in being in the fuel business.
No, you got it totally wrong, Wes. Okay. Let me tell you what happened there, okay? You don't think the board wouldn't have spent $500,000 on a fuel farm if I could have collected $10,000 a month to pay the nut? Absolutely would do it in a heartbeat, okay? I'd be knocking on a mayor's door asking for bonds, okay? Because we can't go over 200. That wasn't the case. We had it was a contract dispute. We have a contract to supply to a fuel farm for a certain period, and it was getting we didn't want to fight it, okay? It wasn't good for relations with, you know, in terms of contract. We were doing our best to try to fulfill that contract at the least expense possible. And we went up and down, back and forth, and that was the gist of it. A new fuel farm for $500,000 is a major purchase, and I would help buy, and if I could pay the nut, you know, it'd be easy. Okay, but we couldn't pay the nut. Not on $900 a month. Okay. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Shane McLaughlin for the record. I'd like to offer just a few observations and a comment. One of the first observations is this, is having had the pleasure of being in the fuel business for the last 4 or 5 years at Nashville Jet, I can speak with some degree of familiarity with the costs of being in the fuel business and the costs attendant. Now, a self-serve farm necessarily wouldn't have all of those costs, but it's going to have costs. And so I would first speak to the assumptions that you've made in terms of how much you're going to flow. I don't think that you have any idea how many gallons you're going to flow right out of the box. You can say people are going to fly in, so you get a couple airplanes on a weekend to fly in. On a good weekend when the weather is good, they're not going to fly in today to self-serve fuel. They want to fly when the weather is good. They go somewhere else. They might, hopefully they come to Sandy's for breakfast. You're not talking about a lot of billing, and I don't think you're going to see it, personally. You've got a $200,000 investment, very significant. You're going to have to insure it. This is if the authority itself made the investment. If Greg Leeson, if Infinity makes the investment, I don't see how they're going to recover their costs in the time period you forecast. Maybe it will happen. I would hope it would, and I hope that that would be the trajectory that we see the airport going in. But as Greg indicated earlier, the current trajectory of operations at the airport, fuel flows, is not in the positive direction, and there's no sign of that changing anytime soon. So firstly, I'd like to say I question the assumptions you make fundamentally on the amount of volume you're going to see. You have to see that or it's going to lose money. And if Infinity puts it in themselves, and this is their decision, it has nothing to do with me, but I want to see the vitality of the airport sustained. Yeah, I'd like to be able to see people buy cheap and inexpensive fuel, and I'd like to buy inexpensive fuel myself at $4 a gallon if I can. But by the same token, I don't see how they can make it work if they put in self-serve. Necessarily, some of that volume in the self-serve is going to come from their existing volume.
Exactly.
There's going to be people, Shane McLaughlin, who used to call Greg and have him fill up the T-34, is now going to go to the self-serve on occasion. That comes out of his bottom line. So that's one piece. The other piece I'd just like to just share a couple of thoughts with you on is this. And maybe you've moved off this concept tonight and you're not giving it further active consideration, but I'm very concerned about the authority going into public business against private enterprise, because that's not your mission. Your mission is not to compete with your customers, and you'd be doing just that if you went into the fuel cell business yourself. I can't tell you how strongly I feel about it. Fundamentally, you would be undercutting the agreements you have with your customers. Now, we're not selling fuel anymore. But it'd be no different than if you decided to go into the hangar construction and leasing business. You're going to undercut every single person that either owns or leases, owns and leases a hangar, leases to somebody else here at the airport.
You'd be hurting that business. Why do I say that? You don't pay real estate taxes. You don't pay rent to yourself. You don't have any of the necessary or other attendant costs that are involved in that. You're a municipality that often get money at much better rates than we can in the private sector. You would not be dealing from an equal footing if you go into competition and business against us, those of us that are at considerable risk. So those are my comments, and I really encourage you to please give second thought to going into competition or going into business here in the field. I know it sounds like something that can generate revenue, and there may be pressure from the mayor's office to do that. I think that the mayor's office is fundamentally misguided if that's her endeavor. And I think that the mayor's office has a fundamental, if that is the case, and I don't know and I don't want to misrepresent her, but I think she has a fundamental lack of understanding of the aviation business and the dire straits we find ourselves in today that resulted in us reaching the agreement that we did with them today.
I don't think that's coming from her, though.
Well, I don't want to mischaracterize
it. I certainly never discussed it with her, have you?
Yes.
I don't think we should start blaming the mayor for these.
Yeah, you shouldn't, perhaps, but if I see that there's pressure, and I've heard it in the past that there may be pressure, and maybe not, if I'm wrong, that's fine, but I've heard people mention many times on different occasions that the mayor this and the mayor that in terms of pressure. I think that maybe I should characterize it as just our town fathers in general. They need to have an understanding, in my view. And maybe I should better characterize it that way, Sandy, rather than the mayor herself. Mm. The town fathers, I feel, lack a fundamental understanding about what this institution is about. This is a public utility, this airport is. No less and no more than, say, a highway. You offer great services. You, meaning the National Airport Authority, do an outstanding job. I feel you work very hard at it. By the same token, you're here for the service of the general public and for private enterprise. And I think for you to have the concept that you're now going to go in and compete against the very enterprise you're trying to encourage to develop would work to our significant disadvantage. And I hope you don't do it.
I'd like to respond to that. As taking an oath of this position here, it is for not to compete with any business or businesses in the airport. It's to foster business with the users of the field and the municipality for which it's brought forth. I personally never would feel to compete with any business that's on the field. I feel we're all here together to increase and make better use as to what we have.
You don't want to sell burgers?
Absolutely. And Dave, maybe you can weigh on this, because one of the things that we would strive to achieve, if there's any way we can, is to come present to the Alderman or the Budget Committee several members of this airport. Prominent people have expressed interest in to get involved in the budget process and to ensure that a plan such as this long-term capital improvement and our $50,000 request every year, you understand why we're coming for it and the information behind it and why it's a win-win for the city of Nashua. And I guess it seems to be a little segmented. Okay, we sit down with the CIC and they ask us questions and we give them a presentation, but we don't do it as a group. Okay, I don't know if they'd want that. No, I don't. Quite frankly, last year was the first year, I guess, we really wanted something from them. We didn't really care, but we don't know if we have 30 minutes or 3 hours, okay? For the mayor, the process, for the executive process, okay, is it, we have about an hour, try to make sure everybody understands,
get back and forth, but we've never had that opportunity with the alderman. I don't know if the alderman needed or if they rely on you as our liaison for that, okay? So, I don't know. Do you got any suggestions in the budget process coming up? Because you're right, it takes a lot of the stress off of the businesses here if we don't have to fund the capital improvement program like that, and we can work on our operations, paying the bills, you know, that we need. So,
well, I can try to answer a little bit of that for you. The process that you went through last year is the process that we go through. We talked to the capital committee. They put together their report, and they basically analyze all the different requests, and they say this is a category A request, category B request, category C request. And then the mayor makes decisions, and it'll soon be, for the next budget cycle, it's going to be a different mayor. They'll make decisions to put things into the budget, and then that gets published to the alderman. Then the alderman can begin to take a look at it. And the operational budget is much larger, and it's much more important to the individual alderman than the capital. The capital budget is there, certainly very important, but a lot of attention is focused on the operating side. As far as being expected to turn a profit if possible, I think that expectation is there. However, no one in City Hall, I wouldn't think, would expect the Airport Authority to turn a profit at the expense of the airport. So we wouldn't want to see, I don't think that the alderman or anyone else would say, the Airport Authority need to go into this particular business when someone else on the field is providing it. I think that would not serve the purpose. The expectation is that within the framework of doing things that are good for the airport, we do the best we can. Not that we would start doing things that aren't good for the airport. So you're doing the right things on the budget. I think you're doing the right things to be thinking about how do we make more money. But we have to be aware of the risk of doing things that would seem to bring in more money that in the end cause more damage. So those are the decisions that I think you're faced with and that you would have to explain to Jim Dodges when the time comes and you're sitting down meeting with him.
Right. Good, thank you. Okay, so moving on. Employee selection process. We would like to hire a technician, and just wanted to do a little bit of board discussion on how we want to go about doing that. Recommendation, Steve?
Well, we've advertised already in the Telegraph, the Union Leader, and the AAAE, which is the American Association of Airport Executives. We've got about 20 resumes, and the plan is to go through those and make a selection.
Okay, interview, I think it's appropriate for Steve and Matt to interview and select an employee. I don't need to be involved, but if you feel like you need to be involved, but I think Steve and Matt can take care of this. Are you okay with that?
I have a concern that I don't want you to discount anybody. Because you might be looking for a certain thing, a degree or an aircraft mechanic or, airfield technician or whatever. I don't think that's fair to do. I think a lot of good people we have now didn't come with those skills. They learned and acquired, and I know Danny did not. Danny spoke with me about his passion for the job and what he's learned. Matt, I think, has a lot to offer, and I think he was a great, great find. Do you have the job description, the job requirements, stuff like that, all laid out for what you're looking for?
I'm not sure I understand what you mean.
So when you're going to interview somebody and hire them,
yeah,
do you have a list of, the importance of what you need, what you want?
Yeah.
Okay. And is that available for them or for us or for Barbara?
I could put something together for you.
Yeah, put something together because I think Matt was a great find and we're pretty bare bones right now scares me. Matt has been asking for help for a while. I think we need to give him some help.
Sure.
Winter is here. I sure don't want to listen to Wes gripe it about plowing. Right?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, well, that's the same one.
The question is, are you okay with Steve and Matt conducting an interview and making a decision to hire somebody?
I'm hoping so.
Okay, good. Then we'll move on. For Steve, please. Yes, Wes.
I just was going to ask, you know, most municipal jobs have some kind of list of, some kind of scoring system, where, for instance, veterans get a little bit of preference, perhaps minorities do. Does this job come with that kind of...
We're a small business. We're five employees. We can do anything we want to get away with it. Except, of course, the DBE thing. I don't know that we have to comply with that every 3 years. Go ahead.
I took all of the resumes and I scored them on a matrix with heavy weighting towards somebody that has experience with airport operations already. And one of the last categories I had was kind of an other. And anybody that had veteran experience, we automatically got points for that. So I answered that question.
I think we went through this process before with Mary Beth and with Matt, and I want to make sure we learn things along the way, not just to look at the resume. That was a fun lesson to learn, right? Because a resume might look great. Don't weed people out just because their resume might not look like what we're looking for. I think it's important to interview a lot of people and see who you get, not take the easiest one or the one that looks good on paper. So I'm going to trust you to do that. I have faith that you'll do that.
Okay, great. That pretty much concludes everything we have on the agenda, but the holiday schedule, I missed it on your notes. Do we need to vote on the holiday schedule?
Well, I think it's historically we have.
Yes.
Voted on that, and there's a proposed
How does that differ from last year's?
I don't think it really does.
It's identical.
It's identical?
Yeah. So I make a motion to accept the holiday schedule as presented.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion? Yeah. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Don't say aye. I want to make one more motion.
That was a motion. Okay. Do you have something you would like to add to the agenda?
I might. Yeah.
No, now's the time because we're moving on.
Yes, I would like to make a motion at this time. I see that you have on here adjournment to non-public. I want to make a motion to record non-public sessions, even though the minutes are sealed. I think it will avoid any he said, she said, I remembered it this way, you remembered it that way. I think it's important to record that. It will make everyone's life easier when going back to document those minutes. So I make a motion to record non-public minutes.
Is there a second?
Not for me, but for sure.
I'll second it.
Okay, so there's no second.
Maybe
you should discuss it a little bit off the net first, and then maybe you can be successful next month.
I don't think so. Maybe.
Okay.
2 months from now?
Then we'll move forward. Is there any public input to close out the evening? Okay, great. We'll move on to the director's comments.
Mike, you go first.
Sandy, you're up.
Greg mentioned earlier, what was it, NBAA?
Yeah, the NBAA Schedulers and Dispatchers Conference is being held the third week of January. And in the past, we've discussed the idea that it would be a good place for the authority to have a presence, because essentially all the flight departments in the country, you know, descend upon this conference.
So I voted for me to go, but I think maybe Steve. We have the marketing money put aside. We haven't really dipped into that. I think it would be a great opportunity if Steve's wife will let him.
We to finish the thought. This is we typically display there. We rent a booth and we have a display. And we're on the fence. The reason why I brought it up to you is we're actually on the fence of whether or not we're going to display this year. And so one of the things that I was going to propose was that if the airport wanted to help contribute, it's a nominal fee for the. It's really not that much. I think it's $1,500 or so for the space. We already have the booth. We can alter it, you know, with pictures and stuff for the authority.
Well, you have $10,000. You don't need that.
Yeah. But either way, you know, we're more than happy to, you know.
I think, you know, I mentioned it to Steve when the last one came up, but I had not talked to Greg about it. But I thought it would be a great opportunity to say, well, we don't really have any money, which, you know, we're trying to make, put some money aside now. But we do have that marketing money, and
okay.
I think we need to use it. And see what Steve can do for us out there. I'm sure there's going to be 6 or 7 jets that follow him.
So,
it's going to be one of the lesser expensive shows because it's being held in Tampa, so it's reasonably inexpensive to get there. It's reasonably inexpensive to stay.
What are the dates, Greg?
I want to do the 19th through the 21st or 19th. Yeah. So
that's January.
My enthusiasm for it. So.
Okay. Well, we've got to make sure he can go, wants to go.
Rick Bartle went to the NBAA, what do they call it? He came back and he was very impressed with the number of airports that are much smaller than Nashua that have put up the money to have their own booth and market themselves and present. And a lot of them did it in conjunction with their FBO or with the city or, you know, some component of the city. So I think it's a fantastic idea. And I've been reluctant because...
Lenny, does Midfield have any marketing money?
What do we do now?
Absolutely not.
What's that?
We do now. Oh, we did. We just gave it away.
No, we still have
it. We just gave your marketing budget away.
Yeah, no kidding. So what do you say? To who? To Steve? That's marketing.
I think it's a great idea. I think we need to market. And that's a ripe market to. I'd like to try to coordinate it with our FBO and have a joint booth.
And take a cheap flight.
Just to say that we've done this for probably 15 years. We've been at every one of these shows, no matter where they've been in the country. We've set up a booth. We've shown photographs of our aircraft. We had a big sign in our FBO in Nashua. We did a lot of marketing for the airport and for our business. We're very well known in that circle. It's well worth doing. In order to do it properly for the purposes of the airport specifically, you would need to create marketing material, kind of flashy marketing material that might be your full office.
So, just a few weeks to get some good stuff together
talk about.
I can help you do that. Yeah,
you don't need that. You don't need to ask the board for money. It's in your budget, and you got check writing ability. So go for it. Yes, Shane.
One of the advantages of this particular program is that you can showcase the FBO at the airport, facilities that the airport has to offer, everything from flight instruction on down, with the target, the emphasis being not only transient aircraft, but basing aircraft and attracting aircraft who want to actually locate. These are the schedulers and the dispatchers who are interested in where do we keep these airplanes and where can it be based.
And you know, I don't think I have anything else. I don't think anyone's sick, right? People are recovering. Life is good, short and sweet. January 20th, the next year. That was my director.
Anybody?
I would just like to say that I think tonight was a very productive meeting. We accomplished a lot. We discussed a lot. I'd like to get some input from Alderman Turnerman about recruitment, how the interviews for the replacement directors are coming, or what the process is.
We had 6 applications. One person has since withdrawn an application, so we have 5. And we are conducting those interviews tomorrow. Starting at 8 o'clock, and we'll be done all Monday.
Okay.
We'll go from there. I suspect that the appointment's probably going to be made by Jim Donches sworn in January, because there's not enough time, I don't think, to get them all done this legislative session. The session, it has to go through the entire process, and I don't think there's enough time to get it done before then. So I suspect that Donches will make a recommendation.
Are you still taking, if people still want to turn in?
Anybody can still submit, yeah.
Did you hear that, Joe Carter?
Yeah.
I don't know if Mayor Lozo has considered applications closed. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the case or not. I don't think so, but I don't consider them closed.
But we have five, so that's a good opportunity.
There are five people that have applied.
It's wonderful. Okay, good. Hey, so I'll close with, I'm sorry about the long meeting. I just want to get people to think about a few issues and think about the goal of the airport is to maintain the bottom line and at the same time help businesses. I hope I pointed out that we can't have both. We can't be resisting incremental small changes in fuel flow fees that seem almost invisible, and at the same time be willing and not accept or be willing to pay an extra dollar to avoid pushing the self-service. I mean, it just conflict with each other. And I definitely put those on agenda together to kind of make them clash. It's not, our goal is, as Mike has said, is to help the airport develop and business to flourish. And but it's a two-way street too. We got to survive and be healthy enough to do that. And so we've got, and, you know, I'm gonna throw it out there. The all things we discussed over the last 3 hours, the number one item is still a skeleton in the closet, okay? And that is a lease policy, okay? We'll be jumping on that next year. And lease policy has several items that are important for us to determine as an organization, and that is protecting owners' interest, allowing the airport authority to make an income from it at a reasonable rate, and spur development and address what we're going to do with these assets that are, in 5, 10, 15 years from requiring renewal. Okay, so I'll throw it out there. Other than that, thank you. What is our non-public? Do we have a non-public requirement?
Steve.
You just have
a quick.
Yeah.
Personnel issue?
Yeah.
Okay. So, do I have a motion to...
Motion to adjourn public session and move to non-public session.
Chairman Stevens.
So I need to give you the RSA, or are you good? To discuss personnel.
Technically, according to...
RSA 91-A...
Three.
Subtitles.
Two.
Okay. Got it.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Rosenblum and
Okay. We're adjourned. Thank you. Everybody. 5 minute break.
Come on.
2 minute break.
2 minutes. I already went to the bathroom.